The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, happy Friday to you, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. We've got a lot going on, a lot to talk about. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our live show blog is up and running. A lot of great news and content there for you to check out. By the way, the good news, exciting news, Joe Biden says that he has resolved the crisis at the border. There is no more crisis at the border. So there you go. Just nothing to see here, folks. Don't pay any attention to the million people swarming across the border who do not speak English. Nothing to see here at all. So anyway, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that story a little bit later on. Check in with what's happening at the border. Also, a little bit later on today, our good friend Bart Millard from Mercy Me, a terrific Christian rock band, Mercy Me, they're getting ready to get out on the road, and they're going to start doing tours. And, you know, a lot of these musical groups, they're not able to do the tours. But Mercy Me says, you know what? It's time. We're going to get back out there. You people in Chattanooga and Myrtle Beach, among other places, you're actually going to be able to go to a Mercy Me concert. So we're going to be talking with the lead singer, Bart Millard, and play you a bit of their brand new music project that came out. That's going to be a special Friday treat. Also, Jeffrey Lord is going to be here. He has some things to say about the president's address to a joint session of Congress. By the way, this item just in from Seattle, this is from the reporting of the Daily Wire. More than 200 Seattle police officers have walked off the job. This is a pretty significant story. But as you know, the police department there in Seattle under siege, like many other police departments around America. Louisville, Kentucky said they are facing a staffing crisis. Nearly 200 of their police officers have either retired or resigned. And the Seattle Police Department losing police officers at a record number. And why is that, ladies and gentlemen? Why is it that police officers are walking off the job? Well, I'm going to be very blunt with you. Who in their right mind would want to be a police officer in America right now? I mean, let's be honest. If you are a parent, a grandparent, and you've got a child or a grandchild, and they say, you know, Mom, Dad, I want to be a cop. I want to protect and serve my community. As a parent, would you recommend that your child become a police officer? I mean, there are targets on all of your backs. Let me give you an example. We have a radical leftist television station here in Memphis, Tennessee. It's WREG-TV. And just the other day, I think it was last night, they had a huge expose on a police officer and a group of police officers who arrested an elderly man, a man believed to be in his 90s, with a walking stick. And this is the headline of the WREG.com on their website. Family calls for more community policing after new video shows officers arresting 91-year-old man with walking stick. Now, this story, by the way, apparently happened, what, in 2017? And it's just now causing some sort of an issue. But WREG, yeah, it happened in August of 2017. Police officers were called out to what they believed to be an assault. And when they showed up, according to the body cam videos, this old guy comes out there and demands to know what the police are doing. And so the old guy comes out there, what's going on? And the police officer, according to the body cam video, says, don't worry about it. And then the guy gets smart with the cop. I'm asking you a question. And the police officer says, and I'm telling you an answer. Do you live here? Then it doesn't concern you, sir. And then the guy starts lunging at the police officers with this giant stick that the police department or that the TV people call a walking stick. So what happened? The police, they arrested the guy. And now the family, of course, is going ballistic. How dare you? This was an elderly man. He has macular degeneration. The guy can barely see. He's an old man. He needs the walking stick to get around. How dare the police target the... No, they're not targeting anybody. Somebody comes running up at you. I don't care if you're 100 or if you're 10, but if they're coming at you with a walking stick and they're raising it, as you can see in the video, and they're raising it as if they're going to strike you, at that point, you have the right as a police officer to intervene. And so now this television station... And I'm telling you, some of the TVs, I don't know what it's like in your area, but in New York City, I just noticed that a lot of these local news organizations are anti-cop. And it's pretty pathetic. And you know why? Because they don't want to be targeted. They don't want to be targeted by Black Lives Matter. But again, they're trying to make this about race. It has nothing to do with race. It just had to do with the fact that some guy was coming at the police with some sort of what they perceived to be a weapon. And I'm sorry, it may be a walking stick, but when you raise the stick and you're lunging at a police officer, I got to tell you something. The guy should be grateful to be alive, but he's not. He's dead now, but he died of natural causes of something completely unrelated to this. But now all of a sudden, WREG is investigating. The victim, the so-called victim, and he's a suspect. He had three pacemakers, weighed about 90 pounds, and had macular degeneration in both of his eyes. Okay, well, how are the police to know all of that? And by the way, if you do have macular degeneration and you have three pacemakers and you only weigh 90 pounds, should you not have the mental capacity to know, I probably should not go attack police officers? Again, I'm not disparaging this man at all. But this gives you an idea of what it's like out there for police officers. They're just out there doing their jobs. And everybody turns on the cell phones. Then they edit the cell phone video. Everything's taken out of context. And before you know it, you got a cop out of work. They've been publicly doxxed. Their family has been attacked. I got to tell you, I would be hard pressed to encourage any member of the Stearns family to become a member of law enforcement, especially in today's environment. It is not a good situation. By the way, the St. Louis, and it looks like they're defunding the police department there. It does not stop. It does not stop. So I'm curious, what would you do? Would you tell a family member, yeah, you know what, you need to stay away from... You would be better off going to work at Walgreens or Target than going to work for the police department. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, bad news, Birmingham, Alabama, all you people, Birmingham, Alabama, every year in the summertime, your big theater and all of your cities have a major theater, whether it's the Orpheum or the Alabama Theater, in this case in Birmingham, and they always have a summer movie event. And typically they play some of the classic movies, whether it be Steel Magnolias or The Wizard of Oz. And they used to always play Gone with the Wind, but not this year. I just got a message from one of our listeners in that area. They said, Todd, you got to help us out here. The local theater has decided they're no longer going to play Gone with the Wind. And the theater organizers say, well, this is a licensing issue. It really doesn't have to do. I don't believe it. Because how many times have we seen Gone with the Wind come under attack by the woke mob out there? So anyway, my condolences to all of you people. I'm not really sure there's much we can do, but Gone with the Wind is apparently gone with the wind. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free telephone number, ladies and gentlemen. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Grace Baker is back from Dalmatian maternity leave, and we're very excited about that. And, Grace, we're going to talk a little bit later on this hour. We got to find out, did you finally come up with a name for the dog?
Oh, I did.
All right, so we have it. All right, we're going to hold off
on this. I feel
like
this is like a tease.
It was like an ordeal.
Oh, I know.
I had quite the long list.
I felt like Santa Claus with his list.
I mean, we had, 7,000 people calling in.
I'm pretty sure. I just had someone actually call me and ask if I'd gotten my dog.
And tell them that we're going to get to that a little bit later in the program. So, all right, welcome back.
Thank you.
So you look rested and refreshed.
I don't know about rested. A puppy keeps you up at night.
I can't imagine. I will say this. I originally said that you should call the puppy Butt Ugly, but I got it's not a Butt Ugly puppy. It's an adorable dog.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. It's a very nice dog.
I think we need to put some pictures up. I'll send them.
You know what? Let's do that.
Yep.
Avery, be on the lookout. We're going to be sending some photos of the new dog. And we'll be announcing the... Did anybody suggest this name, or is this something you came up with?
I actually found it. Yeah.
So what you're saying is you completely ignored the wishes and desires of our audience.
I had a list. I had a finalist list.
There were some fine names in that list.
There were some good names.
All right. This better be a good name. That's all I've got to say.
I don't know if y'all are going to... I feel like y'all are all going to be like, oh, you should have chosen my name. There's lots of names I could have named her, though.
We don't want to drive listeners away from the program.
What?
No, I mean, again, we don't want to. We don't want to alienate. So we were giving people. We were inviting them into your life.
Yes,
to name your dog.
Yes, and I had a list.
All right.
I had their names on my list.
So whenever someone calls in, you can tell them, well, you were the second choice.
Oh my god.
That's what I.
You want me to give one of the runner-up names?
What was one of? Yes, you know what? That's what we call a tease in the business. What's the runner-up name?
Dolly was a runner-up. Like Dolly Parton.
Dolly?
Dolly.
What was that, Avery?
Dolly.
It should have been Cujo.
No, it wasn't. Look, Cujo was a, you know, that is a good name, though.
That,
I mean, if
no
you're
Chewbacca
instill terror.
Did not win.
Yeah, if I ever meet your dog, Grace, I'm calling it Cujo.
Okay, Avery. Well, I'm not letting her watch that movie.
She'll probably train it to bite you.
She's not watching that movie.
All right.
She won't know.
All right. So, coming up this hour, at the end of this hour, we will tell you what the name of the dog is. All right. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868, Lynchburg, Virginia. Lisa, listening to us on WLVA. All right, Lisa, what's going on?
This is what I think about the police. They want the departments to fall apart and people leave because they want a police force for the whole country. And they're just letting it happen just as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, they want to take over just like they want to take over the zoning for the whole country.
So, Lisa, do you think this is some sort of a grand scheme of creating chaos and anarchy and lawlessness in the streets of our cities?
Exactly. It's gone over and over and over. They're made to look like they're terrible people. They're racist and everything else because the Biden and the group just want to get rid of them because they want their own force over everybody, all of us.
Because we know it's that obvious. the facts, Lisa, are on the side of the police. I mean, the number of police-involved shootings is minuscule. When you compare the millions and millions of encounters that we have with law enforcement around the country, and then when you break out the numbers overwhelmingly, I think it's a 2-to-1 margin, the police and those police-involved shootings have involved white suspects and not minority suspects.
But they won't talk about that. That's because they want to emphasize the ones that get them what they want, develop people's attitude all over the country. against the police.
Well,
it's the black communities that really need the police more. I mean, they have come out and said, no, we need the police. We need the police. And we're spending more in those areas. And, you know, people should be appreciative instead of against them.
Lisa, when you, and again, when we go out there and we actually talk to minority communities, and I've done this, so I know what I'm talking about on this issue. By and large, most black citizens want the police in their neighborhoods. They want to be able to go to the grocery store and not come back home and find everything stolen in their house. They want to be able to let their kids go out and play in the front yard or at the local park. So what we're dealing with, I think, again, this is something much broader. This is about creating lawlessness and anarchy in our nation. And they're using race to again, divert us from what I believe is the ultimate goal here. So, all right. Lisa, appreciate go ahead.
It's these people that you talk to that don't get any press.
No, of course not. They're not going to, Lisa, because they don't fit the narrative. You know what happens to people like that? They get called Uncle Toms or Uncle Tims, as Senator Tim Scott just discovered. You want to talk about racist? Just look at the attacks on a black Republican senator who spoke the truth to the culture night before last. And look, I know there are a lot of conservatives out there. Well, Todd, he was just too conciliatory. He should have been angry. You know what? I get that, but I think that the tone and the tenor that Senator Scott delivered that speech, I think it hit home, and I think it impacted a lot of people and their thinking about the Republican Party. Lisa, thanks for the call. But I'm telling you, folks, it is a war on the police out there. Congresswoman Cori Bush just shared a tweet praising St. Louis for defunding the police department. This is just a few moments ago. Here's what Cori Bush said. Today's decision to defund the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department is historic. It marks a new future for our city. Can I just say that outside of Memphis, Tennessee, St. Louis, Missouri is one of the deadliest, most dangerous cities in America. So good luck to you people in St. Louis if they really go through and defund your police department. But again, this local TV station I was just telling you about that they're very upset because some guy lunged at police with a walking stick. And now all of a sudden, you know, you've got a war on police here. You know what I don't see these television stations talking about? The 300 plus murders that we have had in this city alone. They don't want to talk about that. Unbelievable. So anyway, we're going to get into more of this. Joe Biden, by the way, says that you have a patriotic duty to wear a face mask, even if you have been vaccinated. We're going to play some audio for you after the break. Joe Biden also says that he is preparing to abolish ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. We're going to play that audio. And apparently the poor guy couldn't even find his face burqa. The wife had to come running out. The nursemaid, Dr. First Lady, Mrs. Joe Biden had to come running out and give the president of the United States, the most powerful man on the planet, a face burqa because he couldn't find it. It was right in front of his face. Anyway, we're going to get to all of that. 844-747-8868. Is wearing a face mask a sign of patriotism? What say you, America? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, so I have a genuine, legitimate question here, ladies and gentlemen. What is the point of getting the vaccine if you still have to wear a face mask? I mean, what is the point? Now, I was watching the joint session of Congress, I was somewhat befuddled and bemused as I watched all of these people who have been fully vaccinated in a room together being socially distant and all wearing face burkas. It made absolutely no sense. So now Biden is out there, and a lot of people are saying, well, wait a second, this makes no sense. I mean, if you don't have the China virus, if you can't give somebody the China virus, why do you have to wear the face burqa? Why do you still have to practice all of these draconian measures? Now, Joe Biden came out on NBC, and he says, you know what? You have a patriotic duty to wear a face mask. Okay.
CDC guidance this week about outdoor mask wearing. Yeah. A lot of folks excited that they can now shed these masks if they've been double vaccinated. Are you going to be one of these folks now? Are we no longer going to see the President of the United States outside with a mask on?
Sure. Sure. I mean, but what I'm going to do, though, because the likelihood of my being able to be outside and people not come up to me is not very, very high. So it's like, look, you and I took our masks off when I came in, because look at the distance we are. But if we were, in fact, sitting there talking to one another close, I'd have my mask on, and I bet you'd have a mask, even though we've both been vaccinated. And so it's a small precaution to take that has a profound impact. It's a patriotic responsibility, for God's sake. It's making sure that your wife, your children, if in fact they haven't been vaccinated, making sure that they're not going to get sick.
So there you have it. Joe Biden says you have a patriotic responsibility. If you do not wear a face mask when you're at the grocery store, if you don't wear a face mask while you're in your car, if you don't wear a face mask while you are in church, you are un-American. You don't love America. That's what Biden is saying here. You have a patriotic responsibility. Now, you can burn the American flag, and that's perfectly okay. You can take a knee during the national anthem. That's all right. That's an expression of your free will. But if you do not wear the government-mandated face mask, not only are you not being patriotic, you're being un-American, and quite frankly, you're going to kill other people. That is what they are telling us here. And at what point do you, as an American citizen, push back? And I'm curious to hear from some of you who have made the decision, you know what? No more face masks. That's it. We've done it. We abided by the guidelines the CDC put out. And keep in mind, what was the original thing the CDC told us? We need 2 weeks to flatten the curve, right? 2 weeks to flatten the curve. That's all they needed. 2 weeks. And the 2 weeks is starting to look like 2 years. And now you have the governor of Michigan who is saying she's not gonna reopen her state at all. And you have the governor. I want to read this quote to you. She says, if you don't get the vaccine, you're not going to be a free person in the state of Michigan. It's unbelievable. Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer, this is from Breitbart, said she will ease coronavirus restrictions in the state when enough residents submit to receiving a vaccine. So here's the deal. If you live in Michigan right now, if you don't get that vaccine, you're not going to be a free state. You will live under the draconian rules of Gretchen Whitmer. She says that she wants 70% of Michiganders age 16 and up to get the vaccine. This is unbelievable. So Michigan State Representative Ben Frederick broke down the benchmarks. 55% of Michiganders. In-person work will be allowed for all sectors of business. So once 60% of Michiganders get the vaccine, they'll be able to increase funeral home attendance to 25%. Gyms will be able to increase to 50%. Whitmer said it's a very real possibility that she and Biden will authorize citizens to celebrate the 4th of July without restrictions. Oh, well, thank you very much. We appreciate that, Governor. Thank you for giving the citizens the opportunity to celebrate their freedom that they do not have in your state. So my question to you, have you decided no more face masks, no more rules and regulations? We're going to go out there and we're going to live our lives. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Meanwhile, along the southern border, if you're an illegal alien, you can have a raging case of the China virus, and they would welcome you with open arms. You're able to come into our country. You're able to go sleep down at the Motel 6 or the Holiday Inn or the Ritz-Carlton. You're able to fly wherever you want to fly without any ID. You can do whatever you want to. But Joe Biden says, contrary to the reporting, everything's looking pretty good at the border. Cut number five.
But in April alone, Mr. President, 170,000 people, migrants, apprehended at the border. It's a 20-year record. There are 22,000 unaccompanied children in our country right now. That's a record. That sounds to most folks like a crisis.
Well, look, it's way down now. We've now gotten control.
So Biden says, yeah, everything is everything's just fine here. We got no problems. Everything's fine. Meanwhile, you had some poor guy. They were doing a Fox News television hit. Did you see this? Fox News Channel. They were doing a live hit with some poor rancher down on one of the Texas border towns. And while he's, I believe he was talking with Dana Perino, and as they were chatting, you had illegal aliens running behind them. The Texas rancher says, we're under siege here. And then you can hear the dogs barking as you've got ICE agents out there searching for the illegal aliens. It's like the CNN reporter saying, hey, this is a peaceful protest. There's just a raging inferno in the background. But I feel for these border ranchers, the ranchers who own property along the border with Mexico. And he's right. They are under siege. I mean, every single day you've got the cartels moving people through their towns. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Biden says, hey, nothing to see here, folks. Just move right along. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Larry in Arkansas on KARN. Wants to weigh in on the masks. Hey, Larry, what's going on?
Well, all I can say is I'm 65 years old, and I don't wear a mask except to go to the doctor, and that's only because I have to.
Is that right? And so did you ever wear a mask anywhere in the in the pandemic?
No. Nope. I went to Walmart. I went to Target. I went to Sam's. I went to the gas station. I don't wear one, and if they don't like it, too bad. Call the cops, and the cops already said they're not coming.
Larry, have you been able to still do your grocery shopping? What do people say when you walk into a grocery store and you're not wearing the face burqa?
They look at me, but they don't say a word because I'll give it back to them. So, and the other comment I have is for the people in Michigan. You elected her, so suffer. You deserve what you get.
Well, look, there's a lot to that, Larry, and I appreciate the call. The fact of the matter is, you people vote for these Democrats. You're right. Larry is right. You do get what you deserve. And it's a sad thing, but the reality is you could recall your governor. Even the folks in California have been able to do that, right? So what's going on in Michigan where they tolerate? They've got a governor who says you can't plant a crop of butter beans because of the China virus. You can't do that. You can't go fishing. And what the governor's trying to do is she's conditioning you people in Michigan to rely on the state government for everything you want. You want some catfish? Great. You got to go to the government to get that. You want some butter beans? You want some fried squash? Hey, no problem. You just got to go to the government for that. I mean, it's pretty obvious to me, but it is an interesting point. At least the people in California have finally gotten fed up with living under a tyrant's rule, and they're doing something about it. What are you people in Michigan doing? All right, let's go to Sarah. She's listening to us on WLOB, the Big Lobster in Maine. Hi, Sarah. What's up?
Hi there. I just wanted real quick, keep it short and sweet, to call about the mask thing that you were speaking on. It is our God-given right to show our face. I know that sounds kind of funny to some people, but God gave me this face and I will wear it, and I'm not going to put something over it just because someone says so. If I'm in a working environment, I had to paint a wing of a hospice that was being restored. I wore the mask for a week. That was the one and only time I wore it. What did I do after that? I made sure that I avoided all situations where I had to wear it, or if I had to go somewhere, it was okay if I didn't wear it. This is my face. God gave me right. That's it. End of story.
You know, Sarah, it's the longer this goes on, the closer we start to identify with places like Saudi Arabia, where the women have to wear their, you know, they have to cover their faces, they have to cover their bodies in public. And you wonder how far away we are here in this country from that becoming the law of the land.
Yep.
And again, to the point, Sarah, there are places like Texas and Florida, people are not wearing the masks and everybody's living their lives. And they're doing just fine.
That's right. Let them set an example. And God bless you all. Keep fighting the good fight.
All right, Sarah, thank you for listening to us, the great state of Maine. Folks, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, Mercy Me, coming up in the next hour of the show. And by the way, the newsletter coming out later this afternoon, if you haven't already done so, get yourself subscribed to that. It doesn't cost you a penny, and it's a great way to make sure you are getting news and information you will not find in the mainstream media. Let's get to the phones here. Little Rock, Arkansas, the lovely Karen is with us today. Hi, Karen. What's going on?
Hey, oh, nothing much. I'm just on my lunch break right now.
Well, we're very glad that you decided to carve out a portion of your lunchtime to hang out with us.
Oh, I do. I do every day. I take my lunch from 11 to 12, and I come and sit in my car, eat my lunch, and listen.
Love it.
Yeah, as long as I can. I know I hear you're going away on our station, so, but I'll figure it out. I'll still listen to you somehow. All I wanted to talk about was the mask. And you know, our governor, who I don't agree with most of the time, even though he's Republican, I just don't understand the man. You know, but he did take the mask, you know, decree away. We don't have to wear a mask. But these mayors, they're so power hungry. It's like, oh, yeah, you're going to wear a mask for 30 more days, and then I'll evaluate what you can or can't. I don't wear my mask. We don't even wear my mask. We don't wear a mask at work. I'm not going to do it. So I have done it. Yes, I've had COVID. I had a horrible case. Was extremely sick. My husband had it, my daughter had it, my granddaughter had it, so we all had it. And I know how bad it really is, but I wore a mask the whole time. I never touched anything. I didn't go to Walmart. I did all the things I was supposed to do, and I got a horrible case of it. So I don't know why people get it, but they do. And I just don't think the mask is what helps us.
Karen, I never had anyone explain to me, and we had a lot of experts on the program over the past year and a half or so, and nobody could explain how is it that you are safer in a big box store than you are in a small mom and pop store? How is it that you are safer crammed into a jetliner owned by one of these big conglomerates as opposed to being inside your local diner? And nobody could ever explain that from a scientific perspective. And I got to be honest with you, Karen, at that point, it led me to believe this was all a bunch of nonsense. And this was really about protecting big business and shutting down small businesses around this country.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I live in a state where big business is big. I mean, we've got Walmart, we've got Dillard's. You know, we've got a lot of big businesses in Arkansas. And Home Depot didn't shut down. Lowe's didn't shut down. You know, you can walk into there and do anything, but these little hardware stores and little Ace Hardwares and a lot of these little mom and pop, you know, hardware stores, they shut down. And a lot of them are still shut down.
That's right. They are, Karen.
You know, 167, and we see all these these restaurants that shut down. And I don't understand it. You know, how did a nuke shut down? We had four empty restaurant buildings in a row. And it's just awful. I mean,
well, I hate to say this about your governor, and this is a problem that we are starting to see manifest itself on the state level. Governor Asa Hutchinson, much like the governor of Tennessee, Bill Lee, and they're making headlines, but they're disingenuous headlines because, again, our governor in Tennessee said, you know what, hey, we don't have a health emergency anymore. But what he did not say was that all of our major cities are controlled by the health department. They get to make the rules, not the governor. So nothing has changed is basically the story. And it sounds like the same thing there in Arkansas. Karen, we've got to skedaddle. Enjoy lunch. And thank you for hanging out with us. And by the way, you folks on KARN, moving forward, you will be able to listen to us on the live stream over at KWAM. That's KWAMradio.com, KWAMradio.com. And you'll be able to listen to our show as they make some changes over there. So this is a radio show, not a podcast. And we enjoy having conversations with our great listeners. All right, let's go to Rocco in Georgia, listening to us on our live stream. Hi, Rocco. What's on your mind?
Hey, Ty, what's going on?
Not much.
I'm calling you from the free state of Georgia.
I love it.
And we're free, and I've been that way since the entire time. The only time I ever wear a mask is at the doctor. But I have a little trick I play when I go to Walmart or go somewhere where there's a lot of smells, like coffee or things like that. If I walk up to a person, I never wear a mask, and I ask them, is that chicken I smell? And they nod yes. I go, well, if you can smell that chicken through that mask, why are you even wearing a mask?
Now, that's a pretty brilliant observation, Rocco. Now, what part of Georgia are you calling in from?
I'm calling from Cartersville, Georgia, just north of Atlanta. Right up I-75. And it's been that way. We've been free. And it's going to stay that way, I think, because they're setting us up, this whole mask thing. They're setting us up for the next one. Because Kamala Harris just went and had a meeting about how to prepare for the next pandemic. And they used those words, next pandemic.
Oh, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And so I have a habit, though, when I do go into a store and I see somebody that's wearing a mask, I kind of scowl at them. And I smile at the people who are not wearing masks.
Love it.
Here in Georgia, it's about 75-25.
Oh, that's encouraging. And Rocco, I hate to do this, buddy, but we're coming up on the top of the hour. So thanks. I want you to give us a holler back one of these days. You sound like one of our people. Folks, got to take a break. Your call's coming up, 844-747-8868. Plus, we're going to reveal the name of Grace's dog. She's back from Dalmatian maternity leave, and we sure are glad she is. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't mean to overly alarm the listening audience of the Todd Starnes radio program. Because it is a Friday, and today is Open Line Friday, so you can call in, and if you can make it through Grace Baker and the the interrogation that she does before you get on the air, we'll be more than happy to have a conversation with you. But this is going to alarm the people in our beloved town of Gainesville, Georgia, in all of our listeners, WDUN. That's the home of Bill Maine. Mornings on Maine. That's the name of the morning show. It's a very clever name. Nice play on words there. But anyway, WDUN is Bill Maine country. And it is also, and Grace Baker, you will be shocked to know this, Avery Bryson, who hails from that neck of the woods, probably already knows this, I believe. But Gainesville is famous for what reason, Avery?
We are the poultry capital of the world.
You are the chicken capital of the world.
Oh, much like Memphis is the barbecue capital of the world.
Pretty much. But you don't want to dry rub a chicken.
No, nope. That wouldn't be very tasty.
No, the chicken wouldn't go for that.
Mm-mm.
So, yes.
Yeah.
So a lot of chicken, there's a lot of chicken that is consumed and produced there in Gainesville, Georgia.
Lots and lots of chicken. So, and I do a pretty good portion of and helping out of that consuming of chicken.
So Avery, what's your favorite kind of chicken there then? Do you like it fried? Do you like it grilled?
It really depends. My dad makes some of the best smoked chicken, honestly, that
Ooh.
I've ever had. And it's every time he makes it very rarely, but when he does, it's every single bit of it is gone.
Oh. Well, I love chicken too. I would say chicken is probably, I like pork and I like beef, but chicken is always my go-to.
So, yeah. So guys, I don't mean to, again, I don't want to alarm Avery, and I know as Avery is going to run out of the studio screaming when he hears this news. So, ladies and gentlemen,
I don't scream very often.
Gird your loins, chicken or otherwise. Apparently, there is a chicken shortage in the United States of America.
Oh, wait, no. What?
Yes, chicken lovers are going to have to wing it through the great poultry crisis of 2021.
Todd.
Too soon, Todd. Too soon.
Too soon.
This is the New York
Post. This is serious.
Well, it's a serious crisis.
It is. Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, and that's the problem. So they're blaming the chicken shortage on the pandemic and the fried chicken sandwich craze.
Oh. Well, I... Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A might have to come up with some more menu items. That's the only thing I can think of to help because... all I know is every time I pass by a Chick-fil-A, the line is out to the street. So that's probably the issue. Everyone's just going to Chick-fil-A. And now you got Chick-fil-A. The Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yeah. You've got all these different chicken sandwiches that all these chains are coming up with.
You know, I tried the, I committed a bit of heresy. I went to McDonald's.
What did you do this time?
Ew, I went to McDonald's. And I got the chicken, the new all new chicken sandwich at McDonald's.
Uh-huh.
Took one bite. I just couldn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really dry. I don't like it
at all. The Popeye's one is good.
Popeye's is good.
I like it.
That's like the second best.
It's just different.
I like Zaxby's.
Have you been to Slim Chicken's?
Oh, Slim Chicken's is good.
Oh,
we're getting... I'm so excited. Speaking of Slim Chicken's, we are getting a Slim Chicken's on campus next
Oh my
semester.
Gosh, I've never heard Avery so excited.
At Liberty University.
Now.
Yes.
So you're going to have a Chick-fil-A and a Slim Chicken's on campus.
Yeah, we're going to have so many options to get chicken
oh
from.
My gosh.
Well, there are a lot of Baptists on campus, to be very fair about this. And you guys,
sweet
you know,
chicken.
Yeah, we pack away a lot of chicken.
That's fair.
Yes,
I mean,
we do.
There's... I mean, Wednesday night church supper, it's like chicken genocide.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly, yeah.
I will say Slim Chicken's has the best milkshakes. My gosh.
Okay, we're getting off focus
it's
here.
It's lunchtime. I'm hungry.
So the problem is, according to the New York Post, many of the America's biggest fast food companies are very concerned because there's not enough chicken to go around. And there was a big slowdown during the pandemic because they wouldn't let people go and, you know, process the chicken.
Sure.
And And yeah. And now because there's a high demand for chicken sandwiches, the country could I think this is going to be a bigger issue for like Slim Chicken and Chick-fil-A than anybody else.
I think that if I were a restaurant, I would try coming up with new menu items that had beef or pork.
You know who I'm. You know what, Avery? If I were the Chick-fil-A cows, I would be very nervous right about now.
I would be as well. And also, Gainesville's not known for a whole lot of other things other than being the poultry capital of the world. So this is a little bit concerning for me.
That could really hurt the tourism.
Oh, dear.
Yes, our vast, vast industry of tourism that Gainesville pulls in every single year. It funds the majority of our economy. It does not.
We have another issue here. Bojangles is weighing in on this now. Bojangles, famous for its chicken and biscuits.
Yes.
Based in Charlotte, North Carolina. They said in a tweet that they are experiencing a system-wide shortage of chicken.
That's just the start.
That's not good.
No, it's not good.
It's fine. I'm not a huge fan of Bojangles, though.
It is like everywhere in North and South Carolina, though, when I drove through there last year. I was amazed. I have never seen one in the South, and then I saw just Bojangles everywhere.
Bojangles is everywhere. Yeah, especially down in Georgia as well.
Yeah.
And according to the New York Post... That some Buffalo Wild Wings locations have reportedly told customers they are temporarily out of chicken wings, too.
Well, then what do they serve?
What are you serving? The sauce?
Well, the sauce and the fries and the fried pickles. Like, basically, you can get all the appetizers, but not the actual meat.
All right. This should have been our lead story today.
I know.
This is worse than the global
pandemic. You know, I put that on your sack at the very top. This is a big deal.
Good Lord, America.
First the pandemic, and now this chicken crisis.
I just want to say something. Under the Trump administration, we had as much chicken as we wanted.
Chicken aplenty.
Mm-hmm. I will say one thing Buffalo Wild Wings could do is, like you said, you did say it as a joke, Todd, you could serve the sauce. But what you could do is you could, like, put the sauce on top of, like, their cheesy fries that they have. Because hot sauce and French fries is really good.
All right, let's get to the phones here.
Yeah, we need to talk about something else.
We're going to have to regroup here. This is a huge issue. So, ladies and gentlemen, Godspeed to you out there. What can I say? All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. Brian, North Mississippi, listening to us on KWAM. Brian, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Just to make a couple comments on the chicken topic, you can do rub on chicken. You know the area we're in, so... Yeah, we do barbecue on anything. So,
Brian,
you can do rub on chicken.
You know, that's a fair point. And by the way, there is a Slim Chickens in South Haven, Mississippi, which the Stearns family frequents on a regular basis. Great joint.
That was my other comment. If you're going the fried route, you need to get over to Gus's if you think that's good.
So, oh, well, Gus, yes, yes.
Gus's is about, oh, yeah, I mean, you can't hardly beat it on fried. Not trying to plug here, but anyway.
No. We always pass late, along right? good restaurant recommendations here. So you're right, Gus's is the superior chicken here in the Mid-South.
Right. You probably already covered it. I probably didn't. I wasn't listening at the time, but I feel like the most profound thing with Biden's speech, you know, everybody gets into all the talking points or whatever, but the fact that he said, we the people, and then that's government. That's got to be one of the most profound things I've ever heard a politician say. I mean, that's literally the 2021 read my lips or you didn't build that. I just wanted to hear your comments. I mean, that's just inherently there's something wrong with that, you know.
Well, there is something wrong about this. But this is the idea of the Democrat Party, Brian. They believe that government knows best, and they believe a strong government should control the people. And that's, I mean, when you look at the policies and do a deep dive, you know, Franklin Graham was writing about this last night. And talking about how this is a very dangerous path. We're watching the onset firsthand of socialism in America when the government literally controls everything about your life.
Right. And I feel like, you know, if it gets really drugged to the coals and everybody starts really talking about it more, then you know what they're going to do. They're going to try to say that they took that out of context and all that. That's almost laughable if that happens, because you know as well as I do, anything he says in an address like that is studied, rehearsed a gazillion times. So there was no context there. I mean, when he says we the people is the government, that's basically telling me that, like I already thought, that, you know, basically kings and queens and peasants, is it not?
Well, it's just like infrastructure, and they're redefining the term infrastructure. So, to mean everything except for infrastructure. When you look at the infrastructure package, only 7% of the money actually goes to building roads and bridges. So it really is about playing with the words. And that is it's a very dangerous thing that Joe Biden said. And Brian, I'm glad you brought this up, because not a lot of people picked up on the nuance there of what he was trying to say.
Right. Thank you for taking my call.
Brian, thanks for listening. We appreciate that and appreciate all of our great listeners in North Mississippi. By the way, we're adding some brand new stations, Cleveland, Mississippi, and Greenville, Mississippi. We'll be coming to your areas in the next week or so. And starting Monday, we'll be broadcasting live in Salem, Oregon. So adding a lot of brand new stations all over the country. Let's go to Georgia. Dar is listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Dar. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I just wanted to give my little input on mass and conditioning with a short little experience that I had. Last year in April, when they were saying, don't wear a mask, you don't need to wear a mask, it's not going to help, I was really very unsure about what was going on. So when I went to the grocery store, I put on a mask, I put on some gloves, I wore long sleeves, closed shoes. And when I walked into that grocery store, people looked at me like I had five heads. Like, oh, my God, she must have the virus. If I went on an aisle, people turned around and walked the other direction. But I was comfortable at that time because I was unsure what was going on. And then I started figuring out, oh, okay, this is all a bunch of hooey-pooey. So I haven't worn a mask since. And all those same people that wouldn't on their own make their own decision to maybe wear a mask are now all the people wearing the masks because they were told that's what they had to do. So what happened to all these people that are wearing their masks now? Why weren't they wearing their masks when they were, when they weren't told to? So isn't that conditioning?
Oh, the whole thing is conditioning, Dar. I mean, when you step back and look at big picture here, you see this is all meant to condition the American people to accept a crackdown on their civil liberties. And I think we, the people, failed that test. And I think there's going to be hell to pay down the road because of that, because we did not push back when they shut down our businesses and they shut down our schools and they shut down our churches. They know how to control us now. That is a big concern I have. Dar, got to leave it there. We've got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868. We have a line open. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you guys are doing good today on this Friday across America. A lot of big concerts coming back into the arenas and the stadiums. Our good friends, Mercy Me, by the way, they just announced they're going to be out on the road. So you folks, get ready. A lot of excitement out there. As a matter of fact, Chattanooga, Tennessee, we have a lot of listeners in Chattanooga, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and we'll post a link on our live show blog over at toddstarnes.com. I do want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Very honored to have with us the lead singer, the man himself, Bart Millard from Mercy Me. Bart, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing good. A couple of weeks ago, went to my very first live show here in Memphis after, you know, a year and a half of the pandemic. And I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun just being around human beings again.
Yeah, what's that like? I vaguely remember.
And you guys had to be pretty excited as well, getting back out on the road and seeing your fans and singing before those live audiences.
Oh yeah, man. It's weird to be in a band and not, you know, be in front of people. And I mean, I absolutely love being in the studio making new music, but part of that excitement is the chance to, you know, you don't know what you have until you start playing it in front of people. So that's been a weird dynamic that we're just dying to get back to.
And I am curious what you guys were doing during the downtime.
Well, we our new album released today, and it's taken 2 years to make. In fact, the first single, Almost Home, is a year and a half old. So the album was supposed to release spring of 2020. And when the pandemic hit, instead of sitting on this album that was just going to wait, we found ourselves we kept writing songs during the pandemic and ended up kind of rewriting a different record, ended up writing about 40 songs. And so we changed the album title to Inhale Exhale, and everything about it kind of shifted because of the pandemic. So we slowed things down just to have work feel like we're normal, like going to a job daily, so we could, you know, we jokingly say it saved our lives and probably saved our marriages too.
I believe that. I believe that. You know, one of the songs, and you have a new single out, Say I Won't, and what a powerful story this song tells. Give our listeners the backstory to Say I Won't.
Well, it originally started, like, the verses in the song are all about understanding your identity in Christ and realizing that, you know, the same power, that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of us. When that light bulb switches on, you realize that, oh, scripture, like, I can do all things through Christ gives me strength, actually comes to life. And that's where it started. And it was out of conversations I was having. A friend of ours, Gary Miracle, was our first merch guy from 25 years ago, been a part of the family forever. And we were having conversations about identity and stuff throughout 2019. And so those verses were kind of inspired by those text conversations. And then it's not uncommon to start an idea and walk away from it and revisit it later. Well, during that season, Gary, in Christmas of 2019, got really, really sick and had a blood infection and went septic, and he actually flatlined for about 7 minutes, and they got him on life support and realized the moment they, at the time when they realized we're going to be able to save him, they also kind of knew he's probably going to lose his arms and his legs in the process. And sure enough, he did. And by this time the pandemic's happening and we're having to watch from a distance. And we were just, you know, we were, you know, engulfed with his story and his attitude and his outlook on life coming out of that. And he's just an unbelievable guy beforehand and still is. And so it showed up in the song. The song took a shift to, you know, the back half of like kind of like an overcomer or like a Rocky moment to where it's like, you say I can't do it and I'll prove you wrong. And it was all inspired by Gary. And so because we couldn't be in front of fans, we met with a label and wanted to make a really powerful music video because that's really the only thing we could do to reach our fans. And so the label brought some different ideas of people we didn't know that were going through hardships, and it felt kind of greasy that we're exploiting their story to sell a song. It felt weird to us. And in that conversation, I said, man, this song is so much about Gary. And I was like, wait, why aren't we telling his story? So I called Gary and talked to him about it. And he said, man, I do hope that my story can inspire people to overcome whatever they're going through. I just don't know if I'm ready to step on a stage and be a speaker anytime soon, emotionally or spiritually. And I said, well, buddy, I said, what if we told your story for you and did all the heavy lifting, and we can kind of protect you and go the pace you want to go? And man, he was in tears and was like, man, this is like what I didn't know exactly what my wife and I were praying for, but this was it. And so we made the video. It turned out better than we ever thought. And it's just been a super proud moment in our career to be able to be on this journey with Gary and to say, you know, this isn't just a story we found. This is part of our family from 25 years ago. And it's just, God's hand's been on it for a long time, long before it ever took place. It's like he's been cultivating this moment. And it's been such an honor.
And Bart, I have to imagine, you know, you look at these for such a time as this moment. I mean, you know, the themes that you guys talk about in this song, I mean, a lot of people in this country are going through those right now and maybe need to know that, you know what, there is victory and you can come through this, whatever your crisis is.
Yeah, no question. I mean, we've kind of joked the whole time saying, you know, we've written our share of funeral songs over the years with Imagine and Homesick and stuff like that. This song is literally all about living and about taking advantage of every second that you're given. And I think it's especially fitting with what we've just gone through. And, you know, it's funny, a couple of radio stations, they're not sure if they're going to play it because they said that they're not sure about its tone. Like it has a little bit of attitude to it. And I was like, well, yeah, it kind of does. Cause like, I think we're all at that place going, yeah, I dare you to say that I can't do something, because we're all ready to live and be back to some form of normal. And so, you know, if there's any attitude, it's towards this fear that somehow has its grip on us. And, you know, in this whole album, the theme is, man, we can't be overcome with fear. And, you know, we should be worshiping the one that fear actually answers to.
Well, it's a terrific story, and by the way, we are going to play it on a talk radio station because we don't shy away from attitude here on this program, Bart.
That's what you say. Say I won't play this song.
Yeah. Oh, we're gonna play it, Bart. We're gonna play the song. It's. well, look, we're going to have to leave it here because we do want to give people a taste of the song here and a bit of this. And folks, you can, if you want to get yourself a copy, get the new project, Inhale, Exhale. We have links to Mercy Me's website on our live show blog. We're making it very simple for you. And Bart, real quick, are you hearing from fans and really those vendors, those places where you're doing the concerts? Because not a lot of people are doing concerts right now. So this has to be exciting news for them that you guys are coming to town.
Yeah, it's really exciting. We had, you know, bigger plans, but there's a lot of hurdles that we just never saw coming or never even thought about moving back into doing live shows. Like some of these places are super excited, but they're understaffed. And unless there's a stream of shows coming through or baseball season or whatever, you know, they can't restaff for one show. So that's been a hurdle. We've had to like pull back some shows, and you know, we're trying to do anything we can to get out there, hoping that come fall that arenas are back open, that things feel like they're kind of back to normal.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, and may have to drive over from Memphis to Chattanooga to catch that great show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Congratulations, Bart, and congratulations on the new project as well. Folks, you can get yourself a copy of Inhale Exhale over at ToddStearns.com. And you can also watch the music video. We have it embedded there. Say I Won't. Bart, thanks a lot.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having us, Todd. Appreciate it.
Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with the rocket inside, didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live, and my journey.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, you can watch the music video from Mercy Me in our live show blog. Got to check that out. Bart and the guys did a really terrific job there. This story coming in from St. Louis. We told you about this early on in the program. We were waiting for some more details to before we went in depth here. The St. Louis City Budget Board has approved a $4 million cut in funding to the city police department. They are also going to eliminate 98 unfilled police jobs. Now, this decision is coming, and by the way, the mayor is backing this plan. This is coming after St. Louis saw its highest homicide rate in 50 years. So they're shooting people all over the place. And according to the Gateway Pundit, the unsolved murders occurred overwhelmingly in impoverished minority neighborhoods in the city. Mayor Tishara Jones praised the budget cuts, arguing that the defunding of police will help tackle some of the root causes to crime. So in other words, the mayor of St. Louis seems to believe that the police department is responsible for the crime in St. Louis. And, of course, Congresswoman Cori Bush, who is a radical leftist, she said today's decision to defund the St. Louis Police Department is historic. It marks a new future for our city. Yes, a dystopian future. If I were you, I would get out of town or I would move next door to the McCloskeys. So at least, you know, somebody in the neighborhood has guns to protect you from the bad guys. Now, this is very similar to what's been happening in Seattle, where city council members are actively trying to defund the police department there. As a matter of fact, one city council member is recommending that they fire police officers for being white. So let's just set aside the fact that it's a flaming racist idea, but it's also illegal. You can't do that. You can't fire people based on the color of their skin. That's just outrageous. But again, this is what they're dealing with, this war on police out there. And I just, can you really blame the police officers for taking early retirement and getting out of Dodge? I mean, would you want to go on the beat? Would you want to go out there on patrol not knowing whether the city leaders had your back? I mean, it's really heartbreaking. Now, Grace Baker, I have to ask you about Merlot. The dog here. For those of you who might have missed, Grace has officially named her brand new baby Dalmatian.
Yes.
Merlot.
Yes.
Not Sweet Tea, but Merlot.
Merlot. Sweet Tea would have been kind of difficult to say.
Mm-hmm. Come here, Sweet Tea.
Come here, Sweet Tea. Okay, I say Sweetie. It's a little, come here, Sweetie.
It's a little wordy, but Merlot just sort of rolls off the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the dog now. Is the dog acclimating? I've seen the dog.
Yes, you met the dog.
Very friendly.
Oh, yeah. She loves people. And she is not scared of very many things, I've discovered, except big dogs that bark at her. Otherwise, like blenders, trucks, cars, skateboarders, she doesn't care. She just looks at them like very curiously, like, what are you doing? Please explain to me what's going on. But she doesn't look scared. She loves people. She likes her crate. We've crate trained her.
What, now, what is a crate?
Like a kennel.
Oh, so you have a crate that you keep the dog in, like a cage? Like at the border? Is that what we're talking about here?
I have blankets in there and her toys. Well,
they have blankets at the border. What about Kamala Harris's book, the children's book?
She's not reading that. Unless I could give it to her and she'd probably just chew on it.
Well, you can use that. I mean, if you're potty training the dog, you know, you got to house train the dog.
That's true. We are
the
potty training.
The book could come in handy.
We're trying to teach her to ring a bell to go outside.
So I'm curious because you told us early on in the process that Mr. Call Screener was not very keen on having a dog in the house.
Yeah, he knew it was a package deal when we started dating that I was going to get this dog. But
so in the prenup, you wrote in there.
In the imaginary prenup.
We're getting a dog.
We're getting this particular kind of dog. And so the thing is, though, when I walked in the door with her after, you know, driving all that way to get her, came back, walked in, and my husband goes, can I hold her? And I was like, of course. And I gave the dog to him. And he looked at her and he goes, oh, I love her. And I was like, I knew it.
So Mr. Call Screener was smitten.
Oh, right off the bat. It didn't take long.
Now, food-wise, are you feeding? Do you have, like, gourmet food, or is it?
It is pretty nice food. I'm just feeding what the breeders were feeding her so that I don't upset her stomach while she's little. I'm not messing with that.
No, you don't want to mess
with that. So I might change it later, but for now, I'm feeding a half and half blend.
Kibbles and bits?
No, a little nicer than that.
Oh, so it's an upscale dog.
Yeah, you know, was it Blue Buffalo, Natural Balance?
I know is kibbles and bits. So. Yeah, that's all I know is kibbles and bits and meow mix. I mean, Avery may have some better insight into this. I don't know.
I absolutely do not. I know about the Blue Buffalo stuff. I know that's pretty good for dogs, but it's that's not what I feed my dog. I think my dog gets the Purina dog food.
Now, what is your dog's name?
My dog's name is Maggie. Maggie B. Magnolia
Maggie
B.
and Merlo.
Maggie and Merlo.
Oh.
Wait a second, though. So you wanted Grace to name her dog Cujo.
Yep.
And yet you have like a Maggie?
I didn't get to name my dog. My parents surprised my sister and I when I was about 13 and she was about 16, and they had already named her. So I
Lucky
had
dog.
No say in the matter.
Is it named after Margaret Thatcher, like Maggie Thatcher's?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Conservative dog.
No, it's because she's as beautiful as the southern flower and as sweet as honey.
Oh, aww. Sweet Lord. All right.
That was written on the card my parents gave us.
Aww. All right.
Well, all right. We're all going to go think about that. Folks, stick around. Jeffrey Lord coming up. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to get to your calls in just a matter of moments. A big story we have been following involves a good friend of this program and a great American patriot, Rudy Giuliani. And I'm telling you, this FBI raid, the more we learn about what went down, the more I am concerned about the weaponization of the federal government. And we saw this play out during the Obama years, where just about every federal agency was weaponized to take down conservatives. And when you hear the inner workings of this raid on Rudy Giuliani's home, and the fact that they left behind the contents of Hunter Biden, and all this evidence about Hunter Biden, they didn't touch. They didn't want. And it just smells to me like we are dealing with an FBI that is behaving like they are the Gestapo. Well, I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line. Our good friend Jeffrey Lord wrote a terrific piece in the American Spectator. The headline, Biden's Corrupt Justice Department Targets Rudy Giuliani. Jeffrey, good to have you with us.
Hello there, my friend Todd. What times we live in.
My word. And you know, again, we saw this happen with the FBI when it came to other people connected to the president. You know, these dark of night raids. I mean, this is some pretty disturbing stuff.
You know, the thing that really got to me was Roger Stone, whom, full disclosure, I know we worked together in the Reagan reelection campaign in 1984. And, you know, let me just leave aside whatever Roger is alleged to have done or not done. The fact of the matter is Roger is in his late 60s. He fully complies with all the legal requests made to him. All they had to do was send a note to his lawyer and say, present Mr. Stone at such and such a time in such and such a place, and Roger surely would have done it. Instead, they staged this before dawn raid on his house, and he lives on the apparently the coast of Florida, and they put frogmen in the water to make sure that he wouldn't try and escape that way, and then they surrounded his house with floodlights and agents and military style stuff, and mysteriously, Todd, CNN was right there to record it all. Now, you take that all together and all sorts of other things. You mentioned other agencies in the Obama era. I am sure that you remember Lois Lerner.
The Internal Revenue Service.
Of the Internal Revenue Service. And they were making a point to go after conservative organizations of the day and harass them. This is serious, serious business. And what we saw with Rudy Giuliani, I mean, there he is, a highly distinguished lawyer, former U.S. attorney who went after the mob, the former mayor of America's mayor of New York City, and it's one of its biggest, if ever, crises. And they're pounding on his door at 6 o'clock in the morning. Are you kidding me? I mean, this is just bizarre beyond belief. It's not just bizarre, it's dangerous stuff. This is the stuff, as you've said, of the Gestapo or the old Soviet Union's KGB.
And our understanding is, and you wrote about this in your piece, that the FBI actually declined to take the hard drive that Rudy had from Hunter Biden's laptop.
Can you imagine that? So they want every electronic device in the place, and that would include, I mean, and Rudy says he read the warrant, that means every electronic device. Well, Hunter Biden's hard drive is an electronic device. No, they don't want they don't want to touch that. No, they don't want anything to do with that. I mean, it doesn't get more obvious than that.
So the obvious concern a lot of people have, because I think Victoria Tonsing, she was, her home was raided as well.
Yeah.
One of the attorneys involved here, that this is just the start of what could be a very nasty period in American history.
Well, it can. And that is why this is so very, very dangerous. You know, in our misspent childhoods, it was all about Joe McCarthy and McCarthyism and all this kind of thing. This is infinitely, infinitely worse than any of the allegations that were made then, where they were asking, you know, are you now or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party? This is physically raiding people's homes and offices, playing with the computers and the financial information and all that, and using the full weight of the government to come down on these people and destroy their lives. I mean, you know, you can scarcely believe that this is America. I mean, this is bad stuff.
You know, I want to switch gears here and talk briefly about Senator Tim Scott. And there's some argument about whether or not, you know, some conservatives thought, well, he should have been tougher. I thought the tone and tenor was spot on. And I thought he delivered one of the best kinds of speech, that sort of speech. It's very hard to deliver that kind of a speech. I thought he hit a home run, and now the guy's being castigated as an Uncle Tim, as they labeled him.
You know, Todd, I have written extensively about race over the years. And you know me, little geek that I am. I sat down at one point and read every single Democratic Party platform. and they started writing them in 1840. Well, Todd, the first five of them were supporting slavery.
What?
Then you get to President Lincoln trying to successfully get the 13th Amendment to the Constitution passed, which abolished slavery, and Democrats in the House and Senate voted against it. So then they're on the losing end of that. So then what do? They start setting up Jim Crow laws and writing those and segregating, you know, their part of America. And now, as I say, now they're into identity politics, which is, I always say, is the son of segregation. And if you are black, and I would extend this further if you're a woman or if you're Hispanic, and you venture off the liberal plantation, they're coming for you. I mean, it's Tim Scott today. It was Clarence Thomas, Dr. Ben Carson, my friend Deneen Borelli. In today's world, young Candace Owens, if you're an African-American and you are not on the left side of things, they're going to come for you. And that's because they built their party on race, and it's still there. They haven't moved an inch. They've just, changed the line here. But going after Tim Scott like this is just horrendous, but I'm sad to say, typical.
Oh, well, it is. And going back to Dr. Ben Carson and his beautiful wife, Candy, good friends of mine, this man was one of the most brilliant neurosurgeons in America.
Yes.
And yet, look at what they did to him. They portrayed him as some sort of a bumpkin, an ignorant bumpkin, simply
right.
Because he is a black conservative.
I mean, can you imagine the accolades that Dr. Carson would have been getting had he been a liberal Democrat? They couldn't say enough about him. But, of course, he turned out to be a conservative and a Republican. And so, of course, they set out to trash him. And one of the things that he said that I think was spot on, at some point he said that white liberals were some of the most racist people he'd ever met.
Now,
bingo.
Now you see, I absolutely believe that. I was... one of my favorite movies, and I watch this periodically, Bryan Cranston, when he portrayed LBJ, and it was an HBO movie called All the Way, and it told the backstory of the passage of the Civil Rights Act and how Johnson got elected for that the first full term after Kennedy's assassination. And Cranston, just, it was a brilliant performance. But the takeaway is, how racist those Democrats, these are the Democrats we're talking about. They're the ones who stood in the way of the Civil Rights Act being passed. Not the Republicans, it was
right.
The Democrats.
That is absolutely right. I mean, the Republican Party has always supported African-American rights, and it didn't matter when you go back to the early days of the party and abolishing slavery. There were three amendments in there, three constitutional amendments. And think about this when you think about what Joe Biden has been saying lately. The 14th Amendment gave African Americans due process. The 15th gave them the right to vote. And what is Joe Biden saying? Oh, well, these amendments are not airtight. You know, they're not they can't be modified, et cetera. So what are we to take from this, that we're supposed to go back and fiddle around with the 15th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, God forbid the 13th Amendment? I mean, this is mind-boggling stuff and dangerous stuff.
It is indeed. And Jeffrey, we're going to have to leave it there. The real Jeffrey Lord on Twitter. Jeffrey, always good hearing from you. Have a good weekend, my friend.
Thanks, Todd. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Good guy right there. Great writer. And we'll post a link to that American Spectator piece on our live show blog. Oh, this is interesting. The student body president of Virginia Commonwealth University, VCU, not a big fan of you Caucasian people out there. And this is from Breitbart.com. The student body president of Virginia Commonwealth University discovered posting extreme racist and violent rhetoric on social media. It included advocating for the targeted killings of law enforcement. In one post to social media, the transgender and non-binary leader of VCU student government wrote the following words, "I hate white people so much, it's not even funny." The VCU student body president, Taylor Marie Maloney, wrote these words on Twitter. your reminder to advocate for the killing of cops. Now, I just want to stop here for a moment. I understand that some people have a problem with spelling, okay? There's something called spell check, and it's just for, and it's for liberals especially who do not know how to spell. And you know why they don't know how to spell? Because they're ignorant, yes, but also because they don't learn that in school anymore. They're too busy trying to figure out what their personal pronouns are. So Taylor Marie Maloney, who is a transgender non-binary person, wrote these words. Now, here's what it should be. Your reminder to advocate for the killing of cops. Your is spelled U-R. And cops is spelled with a K. K-O-P-S. Jeez, Lou. In another tweet, the student body president celebrated the killing of a Capitol police officer. Love this. We need more of this, Maloney wrote. A Capitol police officer killed after a car rammed into law enforcement at a security barricade. That was the AP tweet she was responding to. She also called on rioters in Minneapolis to burn this B-word to the ground. Unbelievable. And you know, had the races been reversed here, had we been talking about a white person saying this of black people, do you realize this would be wall-to-wall news coverage in every newsroom in America right now? Do you understand the double standard here? This person needs professional help. This person needs to be removed from whatever authority this person might have over students at Virginia Commonwealth University. Very, very dangerous situation there. Very disturbing. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So apparently having a baby is environmental vandalism. That's, wow. This is from Vogue magazine. They posit the question, is having a baby in 2021 pure environmental vandalism? They ask a multitude of questions here in this article. Is it possible to live in an ecologically responsible life while adding yet another person to our overstretched planet? Can I get away with it if I never just learn to drive, never get a dog, and keep wearing the same three pairs of jeans for the rest of my life? You know, tragically, many of these people writing for these magazines and teaching our children should probably be locked up in some sort of like mental hospital. I am not surprised by this. You know, the Chinese for many, many years limited people to one child. That's all you are allowed to have under the law, just one child, for the sake of controlling the population. So I expect more of this. And I do not be surprised. The longer the Democrats are in power, we're going to start having these kinds of conversations on a daily basis. And that brings me to another story. Grace and Avery, I was looking at our stack of stuff, and there is a report out of notthebee.com. Which is, it's the Babylon Bee, but it's the real, these are real stories, not like the Babylon Bee.
It sounds like satire, but it's actually real stuff.
A robotic talking skull says we have to give up our pets to save the planet.
Wait, no, I just got my pet. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't want to part with mine.
An environmentalist, Maggie, that the dog.
Yep, can't part with that poor little sweet pooch.
Thank
what
you,
did
Ava.
You just say?
It's a sweet pooch.
I can't part with the sweet pooch. I can't do
Aww,
it.
Aw, so cute.
A good
Yeah.
Sorry, we're getting Todd off track. He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He missed the combo of Avery and I. Now he's like, I don't know what to do with this anymore.
It's a super size combo, too. Good Morning Britain is the agency here. They had a big discussion over whether or not we should give up pets to save the planet. And one environmental campaigner says that once a pet dies, the pet should not be replaced due to the environmental impact. And someone else on the panel actually disagreed because she says that pets are normally seen as family members,
yes.
And that's kind of weird.
It's very weird. I mean, also, whether you adopt the dog or not, it's still there. You know, it's still born.
Yeah.
So I don't understand that.
So here's the quote from the guy. He says, if you don't need your cat or your dog for mental health reasons or for blind people, you should seriously consider not replacing your cat once he passes away.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Now, Grace, you and I know someone who we used to work with who hates cats.
Yes.
Hates cats with a passion. So she would probably be supportive of this.
But the person liked dogs. So.
Well, that's a fair point, but the question is are you really willing to give up Fluffy to save the planet?
No. Because that's not going to save the planet.
Or Merlot for that matter.
No. Don't touch my dog.
Yeah.
Wow. Grace,
I've had a lot of bonding time with her this week.
Clearly. I've never heard such aggression coming out of our call screener.
Oh, you don't mess with my dog. We're going to have problems.
Jeez, I believe it. Avery,
yeah,
steer clear.
I believe it as well. Avery
will be nice
that.
To my dog, so he's good.
Of course, yeah. And a brief aside, of course, you know, like not having babies is going to save the environment. Obviously, that's going to happen because, you know, we don't have babies. No more poop. No more.
All right. Thank you, Avery. No more. Did we cut Avery off? We got to go. Take a break. We'll be right back. All right, so Liz Cheney is catching a bit of blowback over a fist bump seen around the world, or at least by, 14 million people? The smallest audience to watch a presidential address in decades. Liz Cheney fist bumping President Biden and exchanging pleasantries, and she's been criticized for this. And so she responded on Twitter, and I want to read this to you. I strongly disagree with Joe Biden's policies. But when the president reaches out to greet me in the chamber of the U.S. House of Representatives, I will always respond in a civil, respectful, and dignified way. We are different political parties. We are not sworn enemies. We are Americans. Well, I think that's a nice, kind, thoughtful thing to say. But perhaps Liz Cheney, the chairperson of the House Conference, the House Republican Conference, could consider being civil, respectful, and dignified to conservatives and Trump supporters. Maybe Liz Cheney needs to know that we are from the same party. We are not sworn enemies, and we too are Americans. Maybe Liz Cheney could consider that. Well, let's go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Great to have with us from the great state of Alabama, Congressman Mo Brooks. Congressman, hope you're having a good day.
I am. Thank you. Just got through having a birthday party with staff and getting back to work.
Very nice. Always good to have a slice of cake or something during the middle of the workday to break up the workload. Congressman, the words there from Liz Cheney talking about civility and being dignified and respectful, it would be nice if she did that to her fellow Republicans that she disagrees with.
Well, certainly she's got a sharp wit, and she has some disagreement with other Republicans. But in fairness to all the Republicans that are involved in this little spat, we have a lot of independent-minded people, and they think differently. I was opposite Lynn Cheney on the issue of impeachment. I didn't see any credible evidence that suggested to me that Donald Trump had committed a high crime, misdemeanor, treason, or bribery. Liz Cheney saw it differently, and she'll have to persuade the Wyoming voters the righteousness of her cause. It's an uphill climb, but we'll let the voters of Wyoming make that determination.
Well, and the only reason I bring this up, Congressman, is Republicans must be unified in their response to the Biden administration. What this president presented a couple of days ago, that is something that is to the left of Barack Obama. And as Franklin Graham wrote so eloquently last night, we are witnessing the onset of socialism in America. What say you?
Well, I agree, and I much prefer to discuss public policy issues. What the Biden administration is doing hand in glove with the socialist Democrats who control the House and the Senate is putting the United States of America in a precarious position. They are undermining the foundational principles that have combined to make America the greatest nation in world history. Too many American voters, however, are not being taught or not going out of their way to learn about those foundational principles and why they're so important and why we need to reject socialist Democrat efforts to undermine them to the extent that they are. The socialist Democrats are attacking freedom of speech. They're attacking freedom of religion. They're attacking the right of citizens to petition their government for redress of their grievances. They're attacking the Second Amendment right to bear arms. They're attacking the underpinning of any republic, which is the right to honest and accurate elections. Their $6 trillion in debt increase already requested by the socialist Democrats over the past 3 months. And to put that in perspective, that's an additional debt burden of $20,000 for a man, woman, and child in the United States of America. And the Democrats are counting on individual short-term greed of American voters, and they're counting on American voters not being smart enough to figure out that all this money that's being borrowed by these socialist Democrats ultimately is a collective burden on the American citizenry that has to pay for it. And I hope that the American voters will get a whole lot smarter economically and financially about the risk that we are going to be facing because of what the socialist Democrats are trying to do to our country. And that's not even getting to the dictatorial nature of the socialist Democrats, how they want to have a big central government. They don't trust Americans with liberty and freedom. Therefore, in the minds of Democrats, it's only fair and just that they dictate to American citizens what they can and cannot do with their own lives. I reject that attitude, but the socialist Democrats, not only are they trying to beat it down our throats, they're also trying to seduce us by giving away money that ultimately we have to pay back in spades.
And that is a very fair point. And I can tell you, as a small business owner myself, it has been really hard to find people wanting to actually work for a living. And one of the excuses we get, one of the reasons we get, is this money that they are getting from the federal government. And I'm very concerned that might somehow become a regular monthly check courtesy of the American taxpayer.
Well, if the taxpayers are going to succumb to the wild ways they give out this free, so-called free money, and if the taxpayers are dumb enough to think that it really is free, well, they're going to be deserving what's coming down the pike. Or at least some of them are. A lot of us work for a living. We don't believe in this vote for a living mantra. And in time, those who vote for a living, they're going to have hell to pay because they're going to be the ones in the worst situation when we as a country go insolvent and bankrupt. Think about what happens at that point in time when our creditors cut us off. They're not going to loan us any more money. And all of a sudden, people have to figure out how they're going to get health care when there's no longer free government health care. How about getting food? How about housing? How about a national security that we no longer can afford to pay for? How about law enforcement that the Democrats want to defund? But most of us rational thinking people understand that you've got to have law enforcement if you're going to have law and order. Now, if you want to subject yourselves to the kinds of government that we see in places like Chicago, where citizenry are shot on a regular basis because of the lack of law enforcement that is needed to do the right thing, well, I don't want to go there, but that's where the socialist Democrats want to take.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm with you, Congressman. And again, we're going to have to leave it there. I think we've got a pretty bad phone connection. But Congressman, if you're still with us, thank you for standing up for the principles of this great country and the Constitution. And we've got to fight back here. And you're one of the fighters. And so we certainly appreciate Congressman Mo Brooks out of Alabama. Ran into the congressman when I was down at Newsmax headquarters last week in Florida, and he was doing one of the shows, and we had a great visit. And he is truly not only a great patriot, but just a fun guy. So we had a great conversation there. All right, 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So there's an interesting story up on our website, toddstarns.com. A Yale professor by the name of Philip Gorski. And he's very upset with all of you people out there homeschooling your children. Now, over the past, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, Grace, it seems like the pandemic has been going on forever.
Yes, it does.
So this really started right around the end of 2019.
Yeah.
and then kicked into high gear in 2020. And here we are midway through, almost midway through 2021, and we're still dealing with the pandemic. It's hard. We're losing track of time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to lose track.
But in the process of all of this, a lot of people have decided to homeschool their kids. They have decided they don't want their kids going back to public school. Many of them say, well, you know what? It's because of the pandemic. But many parents say it's because of the indoctrination. They were able to see firsthand what their kids were learning, and they did not like it. So a lot of moms and dads pulled their kids out of public school and have decided to homeschool. And the numbers we're looking at, it is skyrocketing, just skyrocketing, the number of people that are now homeschooling. So anyway, Yale professor Gorski here says that's a big problem. And he's especially upset that you parents are homeschooling your kids, and especially you Christian parents. And I want to quote here from the good professor as he was writing on his Twitter page, talking about Christian nationalism and how dangerous that was for the country. He says Christian homeschooling was and is often, if not always, a major vector. You got to love it when they use the words like that. Is a major vector of Christian nationalism. And that's a big problem, he says. So the professor posted an advertisement from a 1975 Christian school brochure talking about how their school, so he's really sort of, it's not just homeschooling he's got a problem with, it's Christian private schools too. Any school that teaches kids that we are one nation under God or that patriotism should be a part of the curriculum, that's a problem with this guy. And he says there is undoubtedly an overlap between Christian nationalists and Christian homeschoolers. How big is it and where is it? Well, this we don't really know because the number of homeschoolers picking up surveys are too small to allow for statistically reliable conclusions. He also cited a story from Christianity Today calling for parents to root out the nationalist weed in Christian education. By the way, Christianity Today, a far-left religious publication. And you need to understand this. There is an effort, all you Christians out there, you should pay very close attention to this. There is an effort within your denominations to make you hate America. And we've been talking about this for quite some time now, but especially in Southern Baptist churches, you folks especially, you've got these kids coming out of your seminaries, and they're being taught critical race theory. They're being taught that America is a racist nation and that you should not be proud to be an American. Well, I got to tell you something here, and we'll open up the phones for a few moments. I think the country's a lot better off with homeschool kids raised to believe that we're one nation under God instead of a bunch of public school kids raised to believe America is a bastion of racism and white supremacy. What say you, America? 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Avery and Grace, interesting story out of Arkansas. I hear we have a couple of listeners in Arkansas.
Just a smidge. It's 10% of the audience.
This is from the Daily Mirror. Madison Cohote, age 19, was moving from Oklahoma to Arkansas, and she was trying to rent a 2-bedroom apartment, which she found online.
Okay.
She moved into her new home, and everything was really nice. But about a week later, she was a little concerned because she realized all of her neighbors were over the age of 65.
That's kind of odd.
So yeah. She did a little bit of digging, and it turns out that she accidentally moved into a senior living community.
What? She must have gotten it off of Craigslist.
There's a huge sign that says senior citizens apartments in the front of the building.
How do you miss that?
I'm not sure how you miss that.
Like, at least when you're moving in, you go, wait a minute.
Yeah, pulling into like the grand entrance and be like, okay, that probably shouldn't say that if I'm a however old she was.
I mean, do you not notice the walkers parked everywhere?
Yeah.
Scooters.
Those motorized scooters, they'll kill you.
I know.
They'll run you over.
Yes.
They will run you over.
Watch out for them.
Madison said she posted a video of this on the TikTok and detailing how her life in the retirement village is going as a 19-year-old.
I love how you call it the TikTok.
Yeah.
It's like the Walmart, the
yes,
TikTok.
It's its own little world.
Do you have Do you have the diabetes? I think it's a Southern thing.
Diabetes.
Oh my gosh.
She was asking, well, what's it like living with the old folks in the old folks' home? And she says, well, whenever I get home, it's usually super quiet.
That's good.
Because most of my neighbors are asleep by the time I get home.
That's good.
And you know they all have dinner around, what, 4 o'clock?
I was going to say, I bet the food's good.
You're down at the Bob Evans.
There you go.
You got to get that early bird special.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how did they even let her in? Like, because you have to apply for these things.
They probably thought it was somebody's granddaughter.
Oh, that's
possibly
true. But
yeah,
I didn't know you could.
Point.
Yeah, that's.
I'm surprised that that hasn't caused, like, complaints or something.
Yeah,
you know, it's like,
exactly.
Why is there a young, you know, I mean, but then again, maybe, does she have blue hair? Because, you know, that typically would be a blue hair, you know.
Yeah, that can set people off. I
the
know
blue
what you're
hairs.
Talking about, Todd.
You know what I'm talking about.
Have you seen the Grandma commercial?
You've seen Grandma when things don't go well
with the beauty
parlor.
It's been going on all week, Avery. I worry about when I leave.
You've seen that progressive commercial, right, where it's like people becoming their parents?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, there's a guy walks in with blue hair, and, he's like, we all see it. And they're trying not to freak out that he has blue hair.
And your grandmother smells of lavender, you know, lavender perfume.
Oh, yeah.
It has
very distinct smell.
It is a distinct smell. It's a lovely aroma. It's a comforting aroma.
Is. Exactly.
Yep.
Madison went on to say one major perk about the apartment, she can play music whenever she wants to because she says most of them can't hear.
Oh,
that's
my
true.
Gosh.
You don't got to worry about how loud it is.
It's true. This is crazy. But I think it's fairly remarkable, too, because, again, you probably don't have a lot of complaints with, you know, crazy parties going on, Avery, or things of that nature.
Yeah, I was going to say, honestly, she's got a pretty sweet gig with living around a whole bunch of elderly people. I mean, and also they're probably all super nice. Again, like if she does have the blue hair, then probably not. But I mean, still, like there's so much wisdom that she can learn from all those people just being there and going to all the little venues they have. So honestly, again, like pretty
like
sweet.
Like canasta
kid.
Or shuffleboard.
Hey, some people can throw down at canasta and shuffleboard.
Well, that's a good point. Well, I'm thinking of home cooked meals too.
Yes, of course. And then, you know, there's probably going to be the older ladies who are going to try to set her up with their grandchildren or something like that, you know.
Speaking of that, no.
I wish I was in her place.
You see, I was not going to bring that up. We've been trying to find you a bride on the Todd Stearns radio program. And I should have checked with you first off air before we actually started, you know, actively seeking, you know, a missus for
probably,
you.
Probably, yes. Uh-huh.
Much like coming up with Grace's dog name.
I'm still saying Cujo. Cujo's
Cujo.
Up there.
Merlot's a good name, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I do like it. I think it works really nice.
All right. This is a fascinating story. Good luck to you, Madison. She says, another fun thing about living in the old folks' home, I can always hear about the tea in the town wherever I want to go. Oh, that's a Southern thing right there. That's a Southern thing.
She can catch up on all the gossip.
Oh, yes. Real quick, let's go to Mark in Arkansas on KARN. Wants to say something about Grace's dog.
Hey, Todd. I really like Merlot. I like that name. I called Grace a while back and gave her some suggestions, and I guess she didn't like them, so I want to run them by you and see what you...
Mark, go for it. We've got about 10 seconds.
Okay. My first suggestion was stop that, because she's going to be yelling stop that all the time, and the dog's going to learn that that's his name.
I love it. Stop that. That's brilliant. That would be my suggestion. That is actually a pretty darn good dog name, to be honest with you. Mark, I hate to do this, but we're going to have to cut you off here. I'm terribly sorry. But thank you for listening. Folks, it's been a great week. Welcome back, Grace, back from... Dalmatia maternity leave. Been a lot of fun, folks. Get out there. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks to Avery, Grace, Kyle, JP, the whole team. Whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.